got a sprain or an itch.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, Medical Director and Physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining.
All right, guys, listen to some blues riff and B. Watch me for the changes and try and keep up, okay?
Jump, it's Marvin, your cousin, Marvin Barry. You know that new sound you're looking for? Well, listen to this.
Way down in Louisiana, down in New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens, there stood a log cabin made of earth and wood.
Boy, that one takes us back. It's a clip from Back to the Future starring Michael J. Fox as Marty McFly, an actor that now suffers from Parkinson's disease. But there are many more. Parkinson's disease is one of those diseases that can be treated in the state of Florida with medical marijuana. So in keeping with our theme over the past several weeks, Carmen and I are going to discuss those diseases which directly and indirectly can be treated in our state with state-legal medical marijuana.
It happens that Parkinson's disease is a long-term degenerative disorder of the central nervous system and mainly affects motor activities.
The first symptoms may be of insidious origin and could include shaking or rigidity, slowness of movement, and even difficulty walking. But these are not the only problems, since thinking as well as behavioral problems may also occur.
Dementia becomes common in advanced stage of the disease. In over one-third of all Parkinson's patients, there is some degree of depression and anxiety.
But there are other symptoms as well, including sleep and emotional problems. Now, at this point in research, the cause of Parkinson's disease is believed to involve both genetic and environmental factors. So those with a family member affected are more likely to get the disease themselves.
There is also an increased risk in people exposed to certain pesticides and among those who have had prior head injuries, while there is a reduced risk in tobacco smokers and those who drink coffee and tea.
Just like many other medical diseases, this one was named after someone involved in its history. In this case, in 1817, a British pharmacist named James Parkinson published an essay on the shaking palsy. However, even before Parkinson was described by the pharmacist, others had already described features of the disease.
As a matter of fact, Parkinson's disease was first called paralysis agitans, or shaking palsy. It took until 1865 when William Sanders and later French neurologist Jean-Martin Charcot really put a name to it.
But knowledge of the disease goes back even farther. An Egyptian document in the 12th century before Christ mentioned a king drooling with age. And even the Bible contains a number of references to tremors.
Even Galen, the father of medicine, describes tremors that occur only at rest, with postural changes and paralysis. So why do Parkinson's patients get the motor symptoms of the disease?
They result from the death of cells in a portion of the midbrain that's called the substantia nigra. With the death of the cells, there's a decreased dopamine production.
The question here is, why is there cell death? We know that it involved the buildup of proteins into something called Lewy bodies in the nerve cells.
You might remember the case of the suicide death of Robin Williams recently. In the months before his death, Robin Williams was besieged by paranoia and so confused he couldn't remember his lines while filming a movie, as his brain was ambushed by what doctors later identified as an unusually severe case of Lewy body dementia.
His wife said that he was losing his mind and he was aware of it. William was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease a few months before he died.
You know, the diagnosis of Lewy body dementia really cannot be made with certainty until an autopsy is performed. Williams was desperate to understand the array of symptoms that started with insomnia, constipation, and an impaired sense of smell, which eventually spiraled into extreme anxiety, tremors, and difficulty reasoning.
Williams even struggled while filming Night at the Museum 3 in the spring of 2014. He played the part of Teddy Roosevelt and had a panic attack and had trouble remembering even one line in his role.
At this time, diagnosis of typical cases is mainly based on symptoms, with tests like neuroimaging being used just to rule out other diseases. We started this segment with the clip of Michael J. Fox. As we said in the beginning of the segment, there are many famous people who have or have succumbed to the disease.
Apart from Michael J. Fox, there is also Brian Grant, Freddie Roach, Michael Richard Clifford, the astronaut, and of course, Muhammad Ali, who passed away this year.
There is no cure for Parkinson's disease, but treatment is directed at improving symptoms. Initial treatment is typically with the anti-Parkinson medication called levodopa or L-DOPA. Once this stops working or just becomes less effective, then dopamine agonists are used. So what is L-DOPA?
Basically, it is an amino acid that is made and used as part of the normal biology of humans and some animals. Even plants use it.
L-DOPA is a chemical precursor to the neurotransmitters dopamine, noradrenaline, and adrenaline. So if you've ever heard the term catecholamines, that is what they're talking about. Dopamine, noradrenaline, and adrenaline. Not only that, L-DOPA itself mediates neurotrophic factor release by the brain and the central nervous system.
In its pure form, with INN levodopa, it is manufactured under various brand names, which we will get to in a moment.
As we said, it's used in the clinical treatment of Parkinson's disease and dopamine-responsive dystonia, which we're really not going to talk about in this program.
There are two types of DOPA, L-DOPA and D-DOPA. L-DOPA has a counterpart with D-DOPA. The only difference here is the way the molecules are arranged. You could say that they are like mirror images of each other.
L-DOPA just happens to be able to cross the protective blood-brain barrier. Dopamine itself cannot. Therefore, L-DOPA is used to increase dopamine concentrations in the treatment of Parkinson's disease. Once L-DOPA has entered the central nervous system, it's converted into dopamine by an enzyme. By the way, vitamin B6 is a required cofactor in this reaction, so vitamin B6 may occasionally be administered along with L-DOPA, usually in the form of peroxidine.
Not only is dopamine active in the central nervous system, it is also active in the peripheral nervous system. Besides the central nervous system, L-DOPA is also converted into dopamine from within the peripheral nervous system.
Remember that the peripheral nervous system consists of those nerves and ganglia, which, as its name implies, lie outside the brain and spinal cord. The main function of the peripheral nervous system is to connect the CNS, that's the central nervous system, to the limbs and organs, essentially serving as a relay between the brain, the spinal cord, and the rest of the body.
excessive peripheral dopamine signaling causes many of the adverse side effects seen with a sole L-DOPA administration.
To bypass these effects, it's a standard clinical practice to also give, along with the L-DOPA, another medication, which is a peripheral DOPA decarboxylase inhibitor. That's a big word. Such as carbidopa. These combo drugs are sold under the name Lodosin, Sinemet, Atomet, and Stilevo. Or with a combination medicine such as Matapar or Prolopa.
There are usually two responses to L-DOPA treatment. A short duration response, which is related to half-life of the drug, and the longer duration response, which depends on the accumulation of effects over at least 2 weeks.
It seems that every time we come up with a good drug to treat a medical problem, there are side effects that limit its use, and L-DOPA is, well, just no exception. The side effects of L-DOPA may include hypotension, arrhythmias, nausea, GI bleeding, even problems with respiration, hair loss, disorientation, as well as confusion and extreme emotional states, including anxiety and excessive libido. But this is not all. More side effects include vivid dreams and even hallucinations, as well as somnolence and narcolepsy.
Aside from L-DOPA, there are the dopamine agonists, which are used as the disease progresses and neurons continue to be lost.
So what is a dopamine receptor agonist?
Well, it is a compound that activates dopamine receptors in the body. They can be used to treat low dopamine conditions such as Parkinson's disease, attention deficit disorder, and restless leg syndrome.
Just like L-DOPA, these have side effects as well, which include euphoria, pericardial effusions, again, hallucinations, psychosis, weight loss, orthostatic hypotension, anorexia, nausea, vomiting, and insomnia. And again, there's the possibility of drowsiness and narcolepsy, as well as syncope and twitching. Now, these drugs include Abilify, fencyclidine, also known as PCP, salvinorin, apokine, parlodel, and a bunch of others.
There are also two classes of drugs that act as indirect agonists of dopamine receptors. These include the amphetamines, bupropion, methylphenidate, and even cocaine, which has no medical use as a central nervous system stimulant.
Diet and some forms of rehabilitation have shown some effectiveness at improving symptoms.
And surgery to place microelectrodes for deep brain stimulation have been used to reduce motor symptoms in severe cases where drugs are ineffective.
This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 29 years. We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just two blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburg Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411, Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care.
Welcome back to the Hey Doc Show. Carmen and I are going to continue into our sojourn concerning Parkinson's disease. Now, that's by no means a rare disease, and it affects over 6 million people and has resulted in over 110,000 deaths around the world in 1 year. Parkinson's disease typically occurs in people over the age of 60. Now, at that point, only 1 out of 100 people are affected. The average lifespan following diagnosis is between 7 and 14 years.
Recent studies have shown that specific genes are implicated in the development of Parkinson's disease.
So what about the future of treatments for Parkinson's? Everything seems to be gloom and doom.
As we have said, symptoms of Parkinson's disease are commonly managed using a selective dopamine receptor agonist. While these drugs are useful in early stage Parkinson's, they tend to lose efficacy in later disease stages.
And as we stated, currently marketed drugs do not appear to modify disease progression. But a research team from Binghamton University recently employed a preclinical model of Parkinson's disease to compare the effects of the dopamine agonist rouprenorol to their new drug, known as D-512.
Results demonstrated that D-512 was more efficacious than rouprenorol in treating the symptoms of Parkinson's disease, while also prolonging the time window in which benefits were shown. This was, of course, in early research using animals as subjects.
These findings followed on the heels of prior work by this collaborative group, which demonstrated that D-512 may also protect against the progression of Parkinson's disease.
One big problem right now is the need to use multiple medications multiple times a day.
The new drug, again D-512, seems to alleviate that need. And here's the kicker. D-512 is unique because it not only treats the symptoms, but the molecule itself is an antioxidant, which is important because a major cause of Parkinson's disease appears to be excessive oxidative stress in a small group of movement-facilitating brain cells. The goal of the researchers now is to understand how D-512 actually provides neural protection and therapeutic relief.
Stem cells are not to be forgotten here either. There is hope for everyone living with Parkinson's disease in stem cell research.
And here's a news item as recent as yesterday. Researchers have discovered that a molecule in the tapeworm drug, niclosamide, might be able to protect against Parkinson's disease-related neuronal damage.
Recently, scientists have been focusing on a key protein called PINK1, which is believed to have a protective role against neurodegeneration.
Earlier this year, researchers at the University of Dundee in Australia examined the role of PINK1, let's just call it PINK1, in the hope that it would lead to the development of new drugs, which could be designed to switch on PINK1 to the benefit of patients with Parkinson's.
Now, researchers from the same university, in collaboration with scientists at the University of Cardiff in the United Kingdom, may have found such a drug.
The team was led by Dr. Youssef Mehelu from the University of Cardiff School of Pharmacy and Pharmaceutical Sciences and Dr. Miratul Mukit, who happens to be a consultant neurologist at the MRC Protein Phosphorylation and Ubiquitination Unit in the School of Life Sciences at the University of Dundee.
They have shown that a drug normally used to treat tapeworm infections may bring us closer to halting Parkinson's-related neurodegeneration.
The drug is called niclosamide, and the new research shows that it contains a molecule that effectively activates the PINK1 protein.
Additionally, the study shows that the drug and its analogs can boost PINK1 performance in brain cells and neurons.
Niclosamide is approved and has been used safely in humans to treat helminth or tapeworm infections for around 50 years.
The data suggests that niclosamide or its analogs could have therapeutic benefit in slowing down Parkinson's disease.
Have you heard of glaucoma? Pretty common eye disease. Well, it will be a great one for our shows, maybe next week, but right now we just want to tell you about a new study that shows that glaucoma was lowered in people who drank hot tea every day.
Could one cup of hot tea per day have a protective effect against the onset of glaucoma?
In a nutshell, glaucoma is an eye condition with damage to the optic nerve, which may result in partial or could be total loss of eyesight. Now, almost 2% of the North American population, aged 40 and over, was diagnosed with a form of glaucoma. Coffee consumption had previously been associated with an increased risk of developing glaucoma due to increased intraocular blood pressure. However, the results of further research was split, with some indicating that moderate coffee consumption did not affect their risk. But listen further.
So recently, scientists from Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, and the University of California in Los Angeles had decided to compare how the consumption of various drinks, including hot tea, decaffeinated tea, iced tea, coffee, and soft drinks, influence the risk of glaucoma.
No study to date has compared the effects of caffeinated and decaffeinated coffee, tea, and soft drinks on glaucoma. The results of the study were published very recently in the British Journal of Ophthalmology.
The researchers found that the participants who drank hot tea every day had a 74% lower risk of developing glaucoma than those who didn't.
To ensure the consistency of these results, the team checked for potential compounding factors, such as a history of diabetes and smoking habits. No links were found between glaucoma risk and any other type of beverage taken into account in the study, including coffee, both caffeinated and decaffeinated, as well as decaffeinated tea, iced tea, and soft drinks.
The study authors note in their paper that tea contains phytochemicals and flavonoids, which have been observed to have anti-inflammatory effects as well as anti-carcinogenic, antioxidant, and neuroprotective properties associated with prevention of cardiovascular disease, cancer, and diabetes.
One research group has proposed that glaucoma may, in part, be an effect of oxidative stress and neurodegeneration, which are two processes that are linked to aging and breakdown at cellular and molecular levels. Taking into account the potential protective effect of hot tea consumption when it comes to cell aging and damage, the researchers suggest that further efforts should be dedicated to investigating the role of these common drinks. I'd like you, our listeners, to know that I am one of several physicians right here in the Jacksonville area that has received the certification to recommend medical marijuana to those patients with certain qualifying diagnoses. These now include amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, cancer, Crohn's disease, epilepsy, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, seizure disorders, chronic muscle spasms, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, PTSD, a terminal condition, as well as other ailments and conditions, including certain diseases with chronic or long-term pain. For more information, you can call our office at 641-4411. We've also set up a website for our Medical Marijuana Society at www.medmarsoc.com. That's www.medmarsoc.com. We have also set up a special website at CompassionateCareJax.com. Where you can get a whole lot more information on medical marijuana. You can also set up an appointment for an office visit to Southside Medical Center right on the website. Again, that website is CompassionateCareJax.com. Well, we've come to the end of another Hey Doc show. Carmen and I hope that you've enjoyed the past half hour and have found it interesting, educational, and maybe just a little bit entertaining.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.
WBOB AM 600. The Answer.